let me preface that in the early morning sessions, in the prayer times, God's been especially precious to us. And then I just thank Him for His grace and liberty in the evening services. If you would, take your Bible and turn with me tonight to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. And we're looking this week at the sufficiency of Christ. And let me remind you that as we consider the sufficiency of Christ, be sure to see the fullness of God in the background. Because His sufficiency is imparted to us from God's fullness. And we saw on Monday night His sufficiency to us declared. And then we saw last night His sufficiency is described in the Scriptures. And we find also it was determined by God's eternal purpose. And Lord willing, now in these last three nights, we want to develop our understanding of the sufficiency of Christ by considering Christ in His work as prophet, priest, and king. And so tonight we will begin with Christ Jesus, the prophet. And keep in mind, sufficiency has to do with a competence, a fitness, a capability. God has made His people an able people to do His will. And it's in Christ where that sufficiency is. And so tonight, as we get ready to read from the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 18, let's join together in a word of prayer. Father, we do come to You once again tonight. And Father, I pray that You would just lead us and help us in this hour. Give us grace. And Father, I do pray for anointing to preach. And I pray for anointing for Your people to hear and understand Your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, the Bible says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." Now, I want you to notice in your Bible that prophet is capitalized. "I will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you hearken." Now, aren't you glad when the word of God's preached, there are those that hear? And God even goes ahead to say, you'll hear the prophet. Now watch on down at verse number 18 and 19. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Now watch the warning. And at least two other major passages we're going to look at tonight will bring this warning again. And he says in verse 19, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Now, if you would, turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter number 1. And we'll pick up and let God testify to us tonight about His prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about the sufficiency of Christ being found in Christ Jesus the prophet, we are considering the sufficiency of His revelation. Now, what, if I can say it this way and not sound disrespectful, what good would it be if God had all this good grace and this good grace available, but we didn't know about it? Now, that didn't sneak up on God. God already had it purposed that He would reveal Himself to us. And He's going to do it by means, and not just means, but by His Son Himself. Isn't that wonderful? There are some things that are so delicate that are so precious that God Himself does it. And even as we saw last night, when it comes to our responsibility of ministry, it's actually God working in us and God working through us to accomplish His goals and purposes. And notice here in John chapter number 1, He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And I'll pick up verse 3 because it'll come up again later. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Then, of course, you realize there's a divine bridge then to verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now think about Christ Jesus the prophet. First of all, notice that Christ Jesus the prophet is the eternal Word of God. He is God, the Word. He is the revelation. And I'll tell you this, and then I may repeat it again later. Remember that the Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation in chapter 19 that the Spirit, the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. So when we think about the Lord Jesus, and we're going to find that this great truth of Christ Jesus, this great sufficiency brought to us by the fullness of God, spans the ages. Remember that there in the garden, after the fall, after the fall in the garden, that God promised that He would send the seed of the woman. That's the testimony of Jesus. Do you remember in Genesis chapter number 12 that the Bible says in the book of Galatians that God preached the gospel unto Abraham when He said unto him, "I'll make your seed a blessing to all the families of the earth. I'll make your seed a blessing to all nations." Literally, all the people groups of the earth. And when we begin to hear the redeemed testify in the book of the Revelation, they say exactly what God promised to do. And so this testimony of Jesus spans the ages. And it's the very spirit of prophecy. And the prophets cry out of Christ Jesus. And now in John chapter number 1, we have the Word Himself coming on the scene and preaching, if you will, Himself. And my friend, aren't you glad He's the only one that could do that? I can't preach myself because in me there is no virtue. In me there is no good thing. But when we look at our Lord Jesus, as we've looked every night, and I've said it every night, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. So now He's coming, and when we get to Hebrews in just a little bit, we'll find out why it was absolutely necessary that He come Himself and make the presentation. But notice as we go on in the book of John, notice a testimony from John chapter number 7 when Jesus is preaching. Now, on different occasions, you'll find that the Bible says that Jesus taught and said. And I thought to myself, having read that, does my preaching say anything? Does my teaching say anything? But when Jesus stood to preach, when Jesus stood to teach, He gave the warning, you better listen. You better heed what I'm saying. And we're going to find an expression here that comes from the world that testifies as to why. But we find here in John chapter number 7, he's on the great feast day now. And he's talked about that out of the belly of believers shall flow rivers of living water. Aren't you glad there's life in us? Not within us of ourselves, but the life is the light of men. Christ Jesus in us is that life, is that sufficiency, as we saw last night. But now the emphasis tonight is, he's declaring that. He's revealing that himself as the prophet of God. And he said, you'll heed him. And he said, if you don't heed him, it will be required of you. You'll have to give an answer. So he's given this great announcement about the Spirit of God that would be given to believers. And notice what verse number 40 says that the people say. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Again, with the capital letter. This is the prophet. And then notice as we read on, verse 44 said, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. They'd come to arrest him. They were sent to arrest him. But when they got there, they couldn't. Now why? He says in verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Now, I know a lot of times, I know one example, sometimes people refer to Mr. Spurgeon as being the prince of preachers. Here he is. Here is the preacher. Here is the man. Here is the very eternal Word of God himself standing and looking at them and talking to them. And he stands there with such authority that the people would say, he doesn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees. He teaches as one having authority. And we read in the book of John in chapter number 18 that when they came to arrest him, that they asked if he was Jesus of Nazareth. And he simply responded. And the Bible said they fell back to the ground. That is absolute authority. Nothing less. Even when he said a simple yes, he said it with authority. Because he is the prophet of God. But now notice in John chapter number 12, as we consider him as the prophet, he makes the announcement of his own death. And he tells us in John chapter number 12, and verse number 27, he said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now let me pause right here to say, would I be wrong to place myself there? Would I be wrong to place you there? That God, in his good grace and mercy, was speaking on the behalf of his people and said, this is for your sake that this has been said. And he said at verse number 31, now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He's preaching his own crucifixion. And then the people's response is, they answer him, and they said, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in a darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now think about this for a moment. Last night, Brother David, when I gave the service back over to him, I truly do believe he was impressed by God to say to the congregation, if God's dealing with you, and I believe he said something to this effect, you really don't have to move a muscle, just cry out to him. Amen. God is giving light this week. Amen. Yes, he's giving light in the morning. He's giving light in the evening. We're sitting here listening to that light. And God said, respond to that light while the light's shining. Walk in the light while the light is shining. And as I come to this point, we saw a moment ago in Deuteronomy, in our opening text, he said that they would hearken unto this prophet. But he said, those that don't hearken, he said, you're going to have it required of you. And of all of us that are sitting here tonight, and many of you have you've sit here last night and the night before, is God speaking to you particularly? Is God calling out to you? Is God saying something to you? I adjure you, I beseech you, don't walk away from God. Don't turn from God. And when we think about the precious chapter, John chapter number 3, he said, I didn't come to condemn the world. He said, I came to save the world. He said, this is the condemnation, that light is come, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And if you're here tonight wrestling with eternal things and you're wrestling between light and darkness, don't choose for darkness, because if you do, you'll do it to the peril of your own soul. He said, come to the light. Come to the light. And Brother Eliezer, he was telling me what he was sharing with our precious young people this week. And I rejoiced. Dear young people, hear what God says. I hear what God says in the youth class or in the assembly. When God's speaking, listen. Because we are merely mouthpieces for the prophet. We merely echo the prophet's words. We have the written God, our word of God that was given to us by the inspiration of God. Hear God, because he's worthy to be heard. And notice he says in verse 37, coupled with his preaching concerning Israel, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now again, remember the warning from Deuteronomy. In particular to them, first of all, you're going to hearken to him. And if you don't hearken to him, I'll require it. Look on down at verse number 45. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Now let's pause there for a moment. You remember we saw the other night that we are to have the mind of Christ. And you remember from Philippians 2 that when he came, he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon himself the form of a servant. He became the bond slave of Jehovah. He bowed to the Father's will. And now he's working as the Father's prophet. He's speaking. He's preaching. He's teaching. And he goes so far as to say, he that seeth me hath seen him that sent me. He was sent by God. And notice that he goes on to say, the warning again at verse 46 through 48. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now keep in mind, he's revealing himself. He's revealing God's purpose and plan. And he said a moment ago that it was God's purpose, it was God's will that he be lifted up. That promised seed of the woman that was preached there after the fall. You remember, he said the serpent would bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And then as he said to Abraham, that he would be a blessing to all the nations. It was going to be in his death and resurrection, his ascension, that he would be that blessing. It would be in the work he would accomplish. And that's what the preaching of the gospel revolves around. Paul said, I declare unto you that which that was given. He said that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that act of God is declared throughout the epistles. And so Jesus said, you best listen, you better hear, because God is making the revelation known. And then notice, if you would, in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now let me pause there. Notice the last days. Now the other morning, Brother Dickerson was preaching, and he pointed out that those last days started with the appearance of Christ. And I say, amen. When he came, God's final and fullest revelation had come to man. Do you remember how John began to write in his first epistle? He said that eternal life, we have seen it. We have handled it. They could hear the word of God because the prophet was standing right in front of them. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus allows himself to be touched? Yes. You know, some people stand back and say, don't touch me. You know what I'm saying, don't you, Brother Dan? And you remember what the book of Jeremiah says? They say, don't come near me because I am holier than thou. But this prophet came and he let them touch him. Yes. He let them listen to him. He let them look at him. And you remember one day they kept wanting to know where he lived. He said, come with me. Come and see. He withheld nothing from them. He was the prophet of God. And he was the fullness. And notice what makes him so special. He said, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory. Now, who better could expound God than the very shining of his glory? Amen. And he goes on to say, he's the express image of his person. And Jesus kept saying it to him. He had to constantly remind Thomas. Finally he said, Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. He said, he that seeth me, we just read it in John, he that seeth me hath seen him that sent me. The express image of the Father. Now, if he's the very brightness of his glory, he's the express image of his person. And notice this. And he's upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Think about this. If this is the person, and we say yes it is, what better revelation could we have? What more? How much clearer could God say it than for his son himself to be incarnate and let them look at him? Yes. Now, Brother Dan was preaching this morning on, if you hear these sayings of mine. And that's part of his ministry as the prophet. A ministry of correction. He said, for example, it has been said, but I say unto you, that's those sayings, Brother Dan. You've heard, but I say unto you. He was clarifying. He was making sure that there was accurate understanding. And that's why he said, you better walk in the light while the light's here. Because he said, when the light's gone, it's going to be darkness. Think about that. We take it for granted that when God begins to shine the light in our darkened souls, that we'll just have the benefit of light on and on at our beck and call, and that we can do with it what we will. We can handle it in our time, but not so. Not so. We saw for two nights now how careful God is about measurement. How careful God is about accuracy. And the emphasis that we've seen so far tonight is God deals now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. While the light is shining, is the time to react to God because he's doing business. And so he says here, he has authority. He has the authority. He's God in the flesh. And I'll be honest with you, something that I'm wrestling with. And I wanted help, you know. I went out to the side of the building. I held my phone this way and that way. I was trying to get to Bible Hub to get some help. But you know what? The phone said, no internet. And I said, Lord, help me. Help me. And you know what? It was better than Bible Hub. Amen. Do you see that this prophet is none other than God himself? This prophet in John and now in Hebrews is being shown to be not only the prophet, the eternal word of God, but he's also the creator. We were talking about this, Brother Larry. And here's something that I was wrestling with, the latter part of verse 2. By whom he also made the worlds, plural. And if I'm understanding correctly, he's ordained the ages. Think about that. And among others, but I know for sure, Dr. Lucilius writes about this in his Theology of Revival. He talks about the history of salvation. The history of redemption. God had a single goal in mind about our salvation. It wasn't the animals that were slain to give the coats to Adam and the woman. That was an age. It wasn't the sacrifice that God gave up to the days of Noah and beyond. It wasn't all the animals that were slain under the ministry of the law. God only ever had in mind one single lamb. And it was his lamb. And all the ages before that were ordained by that creator himself that became our lamb. And he's the prophet that declares that he is the one that does this. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around that. He ordains the ages. We saw last night in Ephesians, He's not only Lord in this age, but in the ages to come.
That's right.
Think about that. And I believe in view, and I mentioned this last night, it's not only during the church age that He's the Lord, but one day when He sits on the throne of His father David, He's going to be the Lord. And my friend, you say, well, what does that have to do with this? It has everything to do with this, because God's not thrown Israel away. And that prophet will still, by the good grace of God, be heard by the children of Israel. And he said in that day, then the book of Zechariah, he said there's going to be a fountain open to them. He's going to bring a spirit of grace and supplication on them. The gospel is going to be preached to them by the prophet. And they're going to look at him and they're going to say, where did you get those wounds? And he's going to say, I was wounded with those in the house of my friends. And that's when they'll take advantage of that fountain open to the house of David for cleansing and for forgiveness of sins. Now, I'll be honest with you. After all these years, I still consider myself young, a novice. But my friend, God's not going to replace Israel. God's not going to throw them away. Because when Jesus stepped foot on this earth, He said, I came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was priority one. But then He went on to say, hallelujah, that He had other sheep that were not of that fold. And that's us. That's all of us Gentiles. I was preaching down at Sonoy in the camp meeting down there. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know till a few weeks ago I had ethnicity. I thought Brother Sam had ethnicity. I thought that Eliezer had ethnicity. But all of a sudden it dawned on me, I have ethnicity. I have some kind of English Welsh heritage. And you know what? God loved them too. He sure did. And we lived in Europe. I can tell you the truth. There's as much superstition and demonism that goes on in Europe as there is in any of the darkest jungles in Africa. Don't think because you may have a white heritage, you got a foot up on everybody else. You don't. You don't. I was... Brother Larry and I, we were talking out there before we prayed. I said, Brother Larry, God laid us all down level. He concluded us all guilty under sin. But the great Lamb of God, who is the great Creator, who is the eternal Word, who is the prophet that reveals Himself, said, I also ordained the ages. Aren't you glad to live right now? Now, Brother David mentioned, as we sang that song, he mentioned J. Edwin Orr. And I know some of those other names that have preached here. But we don't live in that age.
No.
In the broad sense, we live still in the church age. But we're very much in the days of Laodicea. Look around. I've been told time and again that this house used to be filled. Well, I'm sorry, it's not filled tonight. But you know what? The glory of God's here like it was then. You know why? Because God's got a remnant. And God's still saving souls. He's still gathering in the redeemed. And He's going to keep doing it like He's always done it. It'll be by the preaching of the cross. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Jesus preached the cross. He said Moses portrayed the cross. He said when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him may have eternal life. That's the single message of the gospel. Always has been, always will be. Amen. And so now, that's coming back to that point I was trying to make. That's why that age out there yet, when He comes, is so important for Israel. He's going to fulfill the promise to the fathers. I believe it's Romans 11 says, and if you'll notice that, that's a possessive plural. Fathers. He's made promises to them, and he's going to fulfill them. Amen. Sure as we're sitting here tonight. And so here in Hebrews, we find him, and he is of such caliber of person, there is no greater revelation God could bring than himself.
Amen.
And it's his son, Christ Jesus the prophet. The sufficiency, and I might add there, the supremacy of his revelation. And look on with me in passing. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Just as some of the old preachers in the South used to say, you might better hit that nail again. If you feel it's still sticking out just a little bit, hit that nail again. Look what he says in Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand. That's the only way we ever understand.
Right.
It's by faith.
Yes.
And I gave you that quotation last night. Faith, that's the hands that take hold. Faith, that's the mouth that eats the bread of God. Faith is that voice that cries out to Christ and says, come in. And so look, he says, by faith we understand that the worlds, you see, in the plural, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, if you'll look at Colossians, and I don't know if we'll have time to get there tonight or not, he gives us some commentary on creation. That creation's not only about what you see out there, it's also about what you can't see out there. Why that river keeps running that way. Why the moon and the sun keep doing what they do. Why the stars stay where they do. Why everything moves the way it does. Why the ocean comes in and out like it does. It's because they're all under his mandate. Their principles, their laws. Well, God knows what goes on in every age as he looks down the corridor. And he's still God. And did you know what? He'll still have a people that will bow to him as God. Because he will reveal himself to them. And he already went ahead to say, they will hearken.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now notice what he goes on to say in chapter 12. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. You already know, but I'll just remind us. The book of Hebrews is a book of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to chapter 12, at verse 22, he talks about they came to Mount Zion. And he says about us that we've come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Do we realize that as we sit here tonight, we're also sitting among them that stand by? We're as real in the presence of God as we are right here. We live in a spiritual world. And this is what we've been called to. And he goes on to say, we've been called, verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Look at it now. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. His sacrifice talks.
Yes,
you know why? Because he is the sacrifice.
Yes.
And then we read on, and here's the warning again. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now, especially in this matter of submission to God for salvation, is God talking to you tonight? Because if God's talking to you tonight, you need to listen. Because if you don't listen, we have the reminder, there is salvation in none other. While the light's shining, while God's dealing, while God's calling, it's the time to come. He says, don't refuse him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So as we think about it tonight, this is very important. The revelation of His sufficiency is important. Let's look and get a couple of witnesses to that effect. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Brother Dan and I, we were talking about the faith of Jesus. Jesus believed a lot of things. And we benefit from His faith. But did you know what? He still gives us a responsibility to believe. And He said, what brings us to that? You remember, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And He says right here, we heard that by the gospel. Amen. The gospel is about His Son. Look at it. One other witness at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 13 and 14. He's showing us how practical this is, that He's doing this and doing His work. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The truth is given to us by the prophet in the gospel. As we hear the gospel, look what he says in verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Now, if God stirred your heart and you desire to be saved, there's not going to be another message for you. Right. It's the message of the gospel. Amen. It's the story, as sometimes we sing, tell me the old story of Jesus and His love, which in fact, that story is older than we realize. It's the eternal story of God that He intended to save sinners, to literally save all Israel and reconcile the world unto Himself. That's how Romans 11 puts it. Now, always that one single purpose. He said He called us by the gospel, look, to obtain. We can lay hold of. We can take possession of it as our own, and we can appropriate it to our lives. That's the word we looked at last night, comprehend. We can take it. He said here, we have been brought by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to responsibility. He said, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Mm-hmm. Even in this last day, this dark day, And we were praying out there yesterday evening, and I thought, listening to the prayers and thinking about the spirit of the meeting, I just had to cry out and say, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. After we leave this camp meeting and go back to our home churches, we need to go back with the determination by the sufficiency of Christ. We are going to stand as His able servants. He said, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by our word or by word or our epistle. And then he goes on to talk about how God will comfort us by His grace. So tonight, the sufficiency revealed to us by Christ the prophet. Yes. Brother David.
Efficiency that marks Him, the fullness of God. that dwells bodily in him. He is the one who communicates that truth, which is life eternal.
Amen.
And we rejoice in the reality of these things. And brothers and sisters, allow me to just comment that, do we take the gospel for granted? Do we fail to realize that it is good news? Do we fail to realize the message that we have heard about God's dear Son, the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work that he accomplished, that itself is, if you will, the very embodiment of eternal life to our soul?
Amen.
As God, by his Spirit, brought us to faith to receive and believe that message.
Yes.
And I would emphasize again what our brother mentioned in his own words tonight. If there's anyone listening, whether they're listening here or remotely, whatever means, if you've not come to Christ, we would say to you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Believe on the Son of God. Believe this one. We could have not heard any more clearly that if we fail to do that, it will be required of us.
Yes.
The day of judgment will reveal the fact that I have not received that word if I turn a deaf ear to it. Judgment will be, that word itself will judge us. I'd like for us to sing. Our brother mentioned, tell me the old story. I'd like for us to sing that. I invite you to stand, please, and turn to hymn 229. We are without accompaniment. So you can come out and sing out again as you were doing, and the Lord will then try to make our way through this blessed hymn. Listen to what it says as we speak it. What we're wanting to hear is that old story is told.
Tell me the old story. As to a little
come tonight, especially those of Grace Baptist Church who come. Their Wednesday night service moved to be with us tonight. We're glad for the fellowship of the pastor emeritus of that congregation, Brother Kaminsky. And I understand they've recycled you too, Brother. We rejoice. Thank God that your gifts and your many things God's put in you for ministry are still being put to use. I'd ask you if you would, Brother, dismiss us, please, in prayer.
Our God and our Father, we conclude our evening fellowship with the words of the Lord Jesus. It seems to me to shine the light on everything Brother Don was addressing on his sufficiency. Lord Jesus himself said, "It is finished."
Amen.
Everything that ever came before him on this planet and everything that is yet to come is all tied up and sealed and stamped at Calvary.
Yes.
We're thankful that it's done. We have no more to do. Not that we ever could. So we cast ourselves entirely upon you, my dear God. We ask your blessing upon this multitude tonight. And we pray, dear God, a special and abundant blessing upon this preacher. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. I would mention there are refreshments we'll be having shortly in the Chuck Wagon. You're welcome to come and join us and fellowship further there.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, Cindy and Amy, all who labor with them for that.
Yeah.